Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
We're back quickly, yeah, here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe.
Sup?
That was quick. Whew, we're out of breath. You have to run down the halls quickly to get anything done during that break. Chris Mason. He's in Calgary. Flames and Preds tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Pregame at 7. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. C-Mace, what's up?
What's up, guys? Yeah, Calgary, Alberta. Just about an hour and 15 up the road from Red Deer, Alberta, my hometown.
I was going to say, you know anything about that area?
Yes, I do. Very well. And I'm looking forward to get to see my folks are coming up and get to see them and have a good dinner and all good things.
That's awesome.
Darren and I really enjoyed the airport there in Calgary
yeah.
a few years ago.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
We did.
That's nice.
It's good.
You know, actually, it's got a really cool view of downtown Calgary from yeah. the airport.
Yeah, they redid it recently, so it all looks good.
Mm-hmm. We saw pictures of Terry Crisp around the airport.
Oh, they're everywhere here.
Statues.
He had red hair then.
He's not only a legend in Nashville. He is an absolute. He's the mayor of this city.
So whose idea was it to do a little curling on this trip?
That would have been me. Mm. I curled growing up, you know, obviously from Red Deer, and we learned that. That's part of our curriculum in school. So it's something that actually, when I played in Winnipeg, and we ended up, we did a team bonding thing there at that curling club that we went to. So we called them. They got us a lane. And it was a blast. Everyone, it was so much fun. You guys, I highly recommend trying if you ever get the chance.
I have. It was entertaining.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Entertaining for others
for all the wrong reasons. Yeah.
I would have loved to see that, and I hope there's video evidence.
There is. I'll show it to you sometime. And apparently on yeah. Sunday I'm going skating, so I'm going to lace them up on Sunday, so that'll be good.
Nice.
Yeah. Once again, it'll be funny for all of us.
Yes,
I feel like Chris would have patience with me and try and teach me how to keep my balance. Hal would just push me over.
Oh, he would definitely. He would clock you over the boards.
And he'd laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to keep your head on a swivel around Skillsy, for sure.
So outside of you and Skillsy, who was – let's just keep it real on the show. Who was good? Give us who was good.
You know, everyone got better. At first I thought, oh, boy. It's going to be we're in one. It's going to be a long couple hours here. But after they tried it a couple times, everyone got it. I think Lindsay got better. Bob Cole he made a couple big shots. Nick Barnowski
got Hellman out there.
Yeah, he was good. He's got touch. He's sneaky. He's got some sneaky athleticism. He can play pickleball, curling. He loved the curling. He had a blast. Willie. Yeah, he's got some work to do. I don't know if the ice and Willie D go hand in hand together, but he got better. He made a couple big shots too. Everyone got so much better. So it was just a good time.
That's interesting. So the scholarship athlete was a little rusty on the ice.
He started getting it at the end though.
Okay, yeah, it looks fun. It looks like you guys
it's
had a
so
blast.
Fun.
Yeah,
it's so fun.
And that's a big deal, in all seriousness, right? I mean, that is a big deal in Canada, right? Like, it's like they that all. I mean, dare I say, I'm trying to use this example. I don't know if this is a good one. It's kind of like bowling here, right? I mean, there's leagues, and they're just constantly doing it all the time, right?
Well, it's probably bigger than bowling there. I mean, it's an Olympic, sport. Actually,
true.
The U.S. is starting to put some really good teams out, too. So they've climbed in their rankings for sure, and they compete at all the big tournaments now. So it's growing pretty big there as well. I think Jared Allen, there's a bunch of
I was going to say, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Yes. Are they still doing that?
I don't know, but I seriously want, if they're listening, hey, guys, I want to be part of your team.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's,
yeah.
So it's like I remember it was like Mark Bolger
and
Jared Allen.
Yeah.
And it was a bunch of NFL guys.
Yeah, and from what I had heard, too, like, it's like one of these things. You think you can go play a sport and you go and compete against the best, and you have a long way to go. But all the reviews were that they went into some bond spiels, very respectable of the sport. They want to learn. They're asking questions. They're really you know, really kind of doing it the right way. So I thought that was pretty cool that these guys put in like a ton of time. I think they were going to, in Fort Ice, Antioch, and training and practicing all the time. And then they were entering, you know, bond spiels around the States trying to and work on their game. That was, I heard that last year, so I don't know if they're still doing it, but I just thought it was really cool.
I'll look into that for you, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I think that's probably the last time I heard it too was last year. So I don't know. We need to follow up on that. That's a good call.
We do.
That's a good way to start off a road trip. Nice win last night in Winnipeg. That's two trips to the peg in the last 2.5 weeks and 4 points. That's what you're looking for.
That's what you're looking for. And you know what? It's when they play those teams, it brings the best out in each other. I just thought it was a really good hockey game. Both ends, both goalies were dialed in. I thought defensively, both teams really battled hard. There were chances. The skill guys were making plays. They were battling, you know, earning opportunities. It was just a good all-around hockey game, and the way that they were able, again, to, you know, there was no lapses. They played a full 60. Each team had their, you know, stretches of you know, offensive zone pressure, but I thought it was just a great hockey game. And again, to me, that's the standard that the Preds have to play with every single game. That's, they're capable of doing that every single night. They played with effort, emotion, good structure, good details. You know, they were good with their systems. They chipped pucks in early, put a lot of pressure on Winnipeg, made them defend a ton. I thought Johansson, Duchesne, and Granlund did an excellent job on the Scheifele line with Connor. I thought they did a really good job shutting them down, really limiting their opportunities. And they did what they, obviously, it's, you know, it would have been great if they could have scored in regulation one and no in regulation, but they did a good job, completely controlled overtime. And then Matt Duchesne made an awesome play to Ekholm, and then Ekholm finished it off with a nice pass over to Granny for the one time. I just thought it was a really high end playoff type of hockey game, and I thought the Preds really excelled.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I'm going to ask you what I asked David Poile yesterday when he joined us, because it's just has all of us scratching our head, but you played the game, you've been around it your whole life, and maybe you can lend a little insight, because certainly David was perplexed. He along with others, are trying to figure out why this is happening. They're one of the best teams in the league on the road. I mean, 14 wins on the road this season, Chris, is near the top of road victories in the NHL. Why has it looked different, and why have they had more success on the road than a place that's sold out, packed, electric every night, where they've had success in the past, and it just hasn't translated this year? Why do you think that is?
Honestly, it's tough, but this is my theory, and a lot of, you know, I've got hit up on Twitter a lot because I've said some things on the broadcast about why is there more pressure to win at home, and why, you know, why can't they play good when they have their home fans and all that? And I think if you look around the league, like even Winnipeg, they're in the same boat at home, and that's, you know, that's, I would put that up there as one of the top, you know, toughest buildings to play in as a road team, to go into Winnipeg, and that's usually a ruckus crowd, and they're get all fired up, but they're having trouble too. And I think with the expectations and the way, when you get into a rut, you put that pressure on yourself to, you know, to perform, and hey, we got to win this game. We haven't been good at home, and it weighs you down. And I just feel when the guys get at home, it's almost like they're individually maybe trying to do too much, and they're trying to, you know, I'm not saying necessarily Forsberg, but a guy like Forsberg is trying to take it through three guys and, you know, do it all on his own instead. But when they get on the road, they simplify their game. They don't have to impress anyone. They just have to play the game that's in front of them. You know, they got to get pucks, cycle around deep, and plays open up. And it just seems like they're free of that pressure. You know, they're free of that weight. The weight is lifted off the road, and they just have to find a way to get over that mental hurdle at home and just, you know, just take that pressure off themselves and just go play the game. Just go play the game. You don't have to win the game in the first 5 minutes. You don't want to lose it in the first 5 minutes. You don't have to win the game in the first 5 minutes. Not one guy's got to do it by himself. Roman Josi doesn't have to skate it up the ice every time and, you know, try to score, you know, goals on his own. Just trust your team, trust your systems. And that's what they do on the road. And they've had so much more success. And I think you can tell when you're watching a game. You know, you watched last night. That was a prime example of what this team is capable of playing. You don't have to win, you know, it'd be nice if you score 5 goals, 4 goals a game. You just got to win the game. They won. They did. They played the game that was in front of them. It was a tight checking hockey game. They outlasted Winnipeg, dominated over it. They just played the right way. And I think, this could be a tough trip because now we're going to Calgary tomorrow. And that's a team that's right ahead of them right now. And they've been playing some pretty emotional hockey lately.
Yep. We're speaking with Chris Mason. He's driven by Freeland Chevrolet every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. So why has Granlund worked so well since John Hines has taken over? He has 4 goals in the last 7 games. He has 5 goals since John Hines has taken over. I think last night was game 11 for head coach John Hines. Why do you think there's been this resurgence of Granlund since Hines has been in place?
Well, he's getting a lot of opportunities, and he's playing, upwards of 18 minutes a night. So, he's getting in there all situations. He's penalty killing. He's on the power play. He's playing with Johansson, Duchesne, whose games I think are also coming around. They've been a very effective line, and I think when you play with that caliber of player, it will help open up space for someone like Mikael Granlund. And the guy, I'll tell you, he just flat out works. He is one of the most tenacious hockey players on that hockey team. He's fearless, not a big guy. We all know that. They've got a couple of guys. He'll block shot. He does whatever it takes. He'll go in there and he'll bulldog you in the offensive zone on the forecheck. And he's got some offensive upside, and it's starting to come around. He's done it in his past. He's put up points. I think he's just feeling it right now. And I think the work ethic has always been there, but for guys to start putting up points, it helps to play with the types of players that he's playing with right now. And confidence. You can just tell he is confident when he's getting that puck. He's making plays when he gets space, and it's paying off. And he was ready, locked and loaded to shoot that puck. Echo, they got right over the blue line, and he turned and he had his stick ready for that pass, and Echo feathered it over, and he just blasted it. So he's feeling it right now.
Talking to Chris Mason, Predators analyst, and you mentioned it earlier. UC was on fire last night. Thought he played a very solid game, and I feel like the team is up and down, but goaltending, what have you seen under the John Hines era with Pekka and UC?
Well, I think it's coming around. I really think, you have the hiccups, you've had the odd hiccups, but I really think they're starting to get it in terms of, the system change. I feel at times there's a couple lapses where they're, maybe in the defensive zone, they are protecting the front of the net. They're doing a good job in the middle, but maybe not attacking at the right times, or a centerman will go when the defenseman should go first, that type of thing, the odd time. I thought it was really clean last night against Winnipeg. But I feel you can see more and more they're doing the right things. They're making the right decisions. It's becoming second nature instead of having to think about it out there. Oh, should I go or is he going? Now it's more instinctual. It's part of their game. They've got the repetition. They've done the video. They've worked on it a lot in practice, and I think it's really starting to set in terms of the way that he wants the team to play. And, from all accounts, they like the adjustments and the way that it fits their team. So I think it's just, it's just getting it to become second nature. And I think the more, the more time that John Hines has had with the team, the more it's sinking in, and you could just see the guys are starting to really get it, and it's becoming that second nature. So starting to shore up and starting to look pretty good.
Chris, I love being able to talk to you about some of these things, like what goes through the head of a player, because you're always honest about it, and it kind of takes us into the locker room. And this time of year, and I brought this up to you before, is difficult at times because you don't know if, one of your teammates is going to leave, if you're going to leave, get traded. But especially with the team and having so much uncertainty right now, of David Poile has said, he's been very open about it, of he doesn't know if he's going to buy. He doesn't know if he's going to sell. He doesn't know what he's going to do yet. And I know that the players can say, well, we don't pay attention to the outside noise. We know you do. I mean, that's just, you're human. You hear this stuff. So what does go through the mind of a player right now with so much uncertainty of what this team's going to look like in a few weeks?
Well, yeah, when you're a player, obviously, like you said, everybody knows the situation, and whether, some guys read the clips or listen to the radio or whatever, and some guys don't. But the fact of the matter is everybody knows the situation. And what, good teams and good players are able to do is they're able to put aside that stuff and try to, recognize, what they have to do. So this team right now, it's no secret to them or to anybody what the situation is. You just look at the standings, and that tells you all you need to know right now. So as this team, I just really feel, I still believe in this group. When you look at this team and who they have, and you put their rosters against the teams ahead of them, they're a better team. You know, they have a good hockey team. They've got, they really have no weakness, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, you could say, you know, they'd be better if they had this or that or whatever. But if you're comparing it to other teams and really looking at that, I think they have a really good hockey team that just hasn't, you know, completely put it together for long stretches. So for them right now, they've got to look at it. It's the old cliche, but this is what you have to do if you want to have success, is you got to go game to game. You got to go game to game, and you got to prepare, and you have to, you know, play the biggest thing you can control. Everybody knows this: effort, game plan, that emotion, you know, details, decision making out there. Those are things that you can control every game. And if, you know, I said it last night in a broadcast, if the Predators play and they have that emotion that they did last night, the effort that they gave, and the attention to detail, that puck management, they're going to win more often than not. It's just the way it goes. But that's been the issue with the team, is the consistency. So you can't get too far ahead of yourself as a player. Those things, those other things, when you come to the rink, you know they're there. But when it's time, when the puck drops, you got to block it out, and, you know, take care of what you need to do on the ice. You know, play, get that next shift, talk to your guys, reinforce that positivity. You know, it's us against the world, that mentality. Get back in that play, in the playoffs. They have a good opportunity this trip. You know, they're in the driver's seat now in terms of a playoff spot with the games in hand, if they can string some wins together. So that's the focus, I think, of a player. You know the situation. You know the outside, you know, the possibilities of what could happen in the next couple weeks. But you just got to focus on the game and try to block all that other stuff out. That's out of your control.
I always say to my 8-year-old baseball boys, I can't make you bigger. I can't make you faster. Can't make you stronger, but there's three things you can control at every practice and every game: energy, effort, and attitude. You can control that. No matter what your size is, no matter how big or little, fast, not fast, strong, not strong, you can control those three things.
Yep. And it's powerful when you have 20 guys doing the exact same thing.
No doubt about it. Go get it done in Calgary. Enjoy time with the fam and Red Deer. And we appreciate the visit as always.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, we're actually off to pickleball here now. So.
Awesome.
we're doing stuff.
Man, you guys are active. I like
it. We are. We have fun.
That's awesome. Chris Mason, thank you.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
All right. Tomorrow night he'll be in the booth with Willie Donick, Fox Sports Tennessee. 8 o'clock puck drop, 7:30 pregame for them. 7 o'clock. Pregame for us here on the radio side of things. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will be on the call. It is a big one, and we'll talk about it on the other side. Predators and Flames. We will discuss this team on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good talk with Chris Mason every week. He's driven by Freeland Chevrolet. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase.
That was good on mentality.
Yeah, we were talking about during the break, and I do. I know it was pretty interesting to hear Chris Mason talk about when everybody's on the same page. It's a powerful thing. It's true. And that is something that I talked to the boys. I was telling you that, you know, at this level, especially at 8, you know, young, impressionable age, you're trying to get out that slumping mentality. I try to get out of their heads, like, don't worry about if you make a mistake. Don't worry about it. Pick yourself up. Get it back. You're going to make mistakes. You have to get through that, because I was telling you, the worst thing is kids that, you know, slump and they, oh, man, I can't believe I didn't make that throw, or I didn't make that catch, or I didn't get that out. It's like, don't worry about it. Get it back. And I was telling you that I watched – was it Inside the NFL on Showtime?
Yeah.
Phil Simms and that crew, they do a really good job. I like that show. They had a lot of audio, I was telling you, from the Super Bowl. So I was watching it last night when I got home from doing the Preds game. I couldn't sleep, and so I was watching that. And Patrick Mahomes, even they're down 20-10. Look, the 49ers are in control in the second half. They're in control. They can feel it. And Mahomes is on the side. This is an NFL quarterback. He is on the sidelines. It's all right. We're okay. He's constantly, you know, they're sitting on the bench and some of the guys have their heads down. He's like, don't worry. You know, or he'll tell the defense, get a stop for us. We are going to score. Don't worry. Just go get us a stop and we're going to score. We're going to win. We're going to win this game. Everybody, relax. We're going to win. Stay with it. That's just interesting. You know, that's interesting.
It's the mentality.
I know he's young and he's special, but that's so interesting. That's an NFL quarterback going to grown men
mm-hmm.
and saying, "Hey, stick with it. Let's go. It's all right. We're gonna get through this. We're going to win. I know we're losing. We're going to win. We're gonna score."
And I think that's where the Predators are of trying to find that again. They had it. They still have it. They just got to bring it back. And I think part of their issue has been that there are times they get in their own head. And they believe that, the penalty kill has been so bad, it's just we can't fix it. The power play, we can't fix that. And that's one reason why you make a coaching change, because you change the message, change the narrative. And I think that they've started to do that. And it's just like you were saying with your 8-year-olds. It's you can't teach them, can't make them bigger, can't make them stronger. The only thing that they can control is their attitude, their effort, and all of that, and the Predators, I think, are in that mode where they're starting to find it again. I mean, last night is a prime example of they were down 1-0, like, okay, no big deal. Let's come back. We got this. Oh, we're going on the penalty kill again. All right, we got this. It's all about that mentality, and it's hard to teach. It's hard to believe sometimes, but that's what you have to do, and guys like Patrick Mahomes have proven that's why they're successful. They were down in every playoff game. By double digits.
Double digits.
And they came back and they won.
By double digits.
Yes. So to say it can't be done, that's you know what. That's exactly what it is. It can be done. It's just you have to have that belief that you can do it.
But you have to have someone leading that charge, mm-hmm. too.
You do.
Right? In this case, it's Mahomes. And by the way, think about how silly it sounds. With the success that they had, and they had come back, and yet he's still having to do that in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He's still having to give them
speeches. He's that guy. He's that leader.
But that just goes to show you how fragile it can be at the highest. Look, it's tough. Winning's hard.
Yeah, if it was easy, then where would be the reward?
But he had to do that, and they have been coming back. They've been down, and yet they're still acting like... He's still having to tell them, hey, look, do I need to remind you? We're okay. But if you have a team someone has to be able to do that. Someone has to stand up in a room. Someone sure. has to, on the bench, say, okay, let's go.
But, and that's where, you know, I think Roman Josi has done a good job with it. He's the captain. He has grown into that role since he was named captain several years ago. And you saw it with Shea Weber. That he grew into it. I mean, it's not natural to everybody to be that guy, to be the vocal leader. You have to learn your troops. I mean,
Joe Burrow had the attention of the room. He yeah. led.
But ascending, I've learned it just in, you know, in my career of, you know, ascending in this company and not only being what you hear on the air, but behind the scenes too. You know, you have to learn. You have to grow into it. And sometimes you have to make mistakes and realize, okay, maybe I can do that a different way next time. So it's why I asked Tim Corbin earlier of what have you done differently? What have you learned from the first championship and how you treat the next team to this one? And he said, yeah, I've changed. I mean, I've learned from different things because you're going to different people handle winning and losing in different ways. And you have to learn that about your team. You know, the Predators have to learn that about each other. They've had a lot of success over the last few years, so this year is foreign to them. The fact that they're not in the playoffs right now and the fact that they've been on a roller coaster, that's different for this group. But the real leaders are starting to step up and show that, okay, we can change the mentality. If we change the mentality, I think you're going to see different things. And that goes back to David Poyle saying that there are certain players that have to play better. Well, now you're starting to see some of those guys stand out that they're playing better. Mikhail Granlund's one of them. Mikhail Granlund has thrived under John Hines. Now you need to see that from other people and have the right attitude, and this team can turn things around.
They've had that on the road, as we were talking
they
about.
They have. Got to do it at home, but
they've been 500 at home, but have 14 wins on the road this season.
But that goes back to what I'm saying. Whenever they enter Bridgestone Arena, what do you think goes through their head right now? They walk in and they go, man, we've been really bad at home. And that's hard to shake. That is really hard to shake off. But they can do it. They have to find that way to do it and put together a couple wins at home, and then it all goes away.
I want to talk to some homeowners out there.
Talk to them.
I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has been serving our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. They've got more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. That's a lot of homeowners. And if you've got settling sidewalks, slabs, patios, or steps, got a door or porch steps that are tilted, or sidewalk or patio that's shifted, sidewalk or patio creating a trip hazard or potentially dangerous situation, these are all maybe signs that you need to get the experts out to your place. They say when it comes to this stuff that I'm talking about, don't replace it, raise it. And that's where they come into play. They're the experts at USS. They believe in their quality of work. They believe in their expertise. They have integrity. And more importantly, they're going to come at your house and give you a free estimate. They're going to let you know, is this a problem or is everything all right? They came out to my house and luckily got the two thumbs up, clean bill of health. They're locally owned, they're licensed and insured, and these are all things as a homeowner you should get your attention. So if something like this is going on, get United Structural Systems out at your place by dialing this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. You can always check them out on their website, usstn.com. They guarantee their best. Call USS.
Chase rolling right along on a Wednesday. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarlane, Elijah Campbell behind the glass. Elijah, actually the star of Calvin and Campbell on Saturdays.
Saturdays, 9 to 11.
9 to 11. Look at you coming up in the world. Smashville Live coming up tonight at the Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Brent Peterson and yours truly will have it for you from 7 until 8. So, D-Mac, we've gotten into a lot of different things with the Preds, the win last night. And, you know, I think this is interesting. We both got a tweet from Nate, who's right. And he says, I will believe what they did against the Jets when I see it against a non-rival. I think that's a good point, because the Jets, there is that rivalry. There's still bad blood there from the playoffs. And it seems like with teams like Winnipeg and Chicago, Anaheim, you see this team get up for those rivalry games. Now, Anaheim, but Chicago, Winnipeg.
Has it worked against Dallas this year?
Has not worked against Dallas. So I do wonder if, but they haven't seen Dallas, you know, in the John Hines era. And Anaheim, they saw that was Peter Laviolette's last game, and then they saw him again, what was it, like a week later that they had a bad game against Anaheim? A week or two since when John Hines got hired. But anyway, yeah. I think there's some truth to that point, but then there's also it just plays into the inconsistency that has plagued this team all year long. So I want to see him get up against Calgary, because Calgary right now needs to be a rival because you're fighting for their playoff spot.
Well, if you remember, the Anaheim game was when they came off that road trip in January where they went to Chicago, Winnipeg, and Edmonton. Remember where they shut Winnipeg out 1-0. UC Saros.
And that was John Hines' first week, really.
Well, Chicago was his first road game.
Yep.
Because the game before was the Boston game here.
Right. So his first win, Pekka had the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was feeling good.
Forsberg had the lacrosse goal.
Yep. So But I think to Nate's point, I mean, yeah, there's some truth to it. You want to see it again, but at the same time, that's just inconsistency with this team. But my thing is play a complete game like you did against Winnipeg, against Calgary, because you're playing against playoff teams. That's your schedule right now. And you look at the standings, the Predators, 57 points, all tied with Chicago and Winnipeg. They win those tiebreakers. They're 3 points now back of Calgary. You can cut that deficit to 1 point with a win tomorrow night, a regulation win. You know, you don't need these overtime games. You'll take it. You'll get 2 points however you can, but you really don't need these overtime games against these opponents. Take care of business in regulation. Stay out of the box. Bury your power play chances and play a similar game to like you did against Winnipeg, and you'll feel much better about this team. But it's really hard to get super excited after one win because you want to see consistency.
All right, Coach, thanks. Let's
You're welcome.
Go.
You're welcome. Let's go. Team on three.
Okay, I didn't know what you when you get you a board, you need to write some stuff
Willie,
down?
When Willie's out, you know, I got to be Coach Chaser. Coach Willie is on the road, you know. He's recruiting.
He's doing pickleball.
Yeah, or pickleball. I guess he's not recruiting. Yeah. So there you go.
No, he's been paying close attention from afar.
He has.
With what's been going on.
We have heard from him.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Did you see Mookie Betts and David Price?
No, I missed that.
No, what happened?
What happened? Did you see what happened at Vanderbilt? No, I missed that too.
No, what happened?
I know. When he's on the road and he misses this stuff, I'm sure it kills him. And then he goes and plays pickleball.
Well, especially stuff like this.
Yeah.
This hits home, so to speak.
Sure. I mean, it hits very close.
It's a little bit
home.
Bigger. I mean, Mark D'Antonio is a big story, but it doesn't hit home.
Yeah.
Like the things we're talking about.
It's been a busy few days, that's for sure. But yeah, Mookie.
The question is, what's the next domino?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, are the Titans going to hire a defensive coordinator, or is it going to be Vrabel? Are we going to get that announced?
It kind of feels like it is going to.
Well,
be,
I did see that they got turned down by Cincinnati's defensive coordinator to come be the linebackers coach. I guess that's somebody that Vrabel knows, has a connection with. Obviously, Luke Fickell's staff.
Bearcats or Bengals?
Bearcats.
Okay.
He's the DC for the Bearcats, and was up for the linebackers coach job for the Titans, turned him down, according to a report.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, and I don't know how much Luke Fickell. I mean, I guess they have a defensive coordinator, but is Luke Fickell?
Unless they're going to Michigan State.
Yeah, well, maybe it could be. There's a good chance of that.
I was going to say, maybe that's the reason he's turning it down.
Yeah, but
they're going to Michigan State.
And I get, you know, the prestige of going to the NFL, but would you turn down being a DC to go be a position coach?
Well, but it's the NFL. Cincinnati,
yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah. I get it.
The NFL.
Sure. I get that. But
it's a pretty big leap.
Guess he likes being the DC.
Well, or there's something maybe we don't know.
Yeah. The DC in the Big Ten.
DC in the Power Five.
In the Power Five.
By the way, that pays a little bit more.
Just a little.
Or a lot more.
And then what do you do if you're Cincinnati? You're like, hey, wait, where'd everybody go?
I was looking at the rankings, and I want everybody to sit down because what I'm about to tell you is going to have you fall out of your chair. Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State are your top five.
Wow.
Today.
You
know,
oh.
You know, that's why I wanted to warn you. This is some pretty stunning stuff, and I didn't want you to tip over. Or if you're driving, I should have said, please stay on the road.
Yeah.
But you're not going to believe this. Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State have knocked it out of the park in recruiting.
And that includes the early signing period. That's the whole thing, the whole shebang. So they're number one. Now,
I'm just looking at
I mean, usually those rankings are all
24/7 sports. It's
not just today.
The 2020 football team rankings.
No.
According to what they've done on the recruiting trail. How many five stars, four stars? So, yes, I guess it would encompass everything because they're saying Georgia.
This class.
Georgia has four. Yeah, this class, they had 25 commits, four five stars, 15 4-stars, 6 3-stars. Alabama had 26 commits, 4 5-stars, 18 4-stars, 4 3-stars. Did you see where Will Muschamp's son, 3-star quarterback, did you see this?
No.
Elijah's shaking his head no. Uh-huh. Yeah, he signed with Georgia.
Oh!
Yikes. 3-star quarterback.
Thanksgiving will be interesting.
You know, Pops isn't going to be around long.
Well, could be true.
Well, how else are you supposed to take that?
Well, you can take it from two ways. Did Dad offer him?
I mean, come on. He went to Georgia.
I mean, but yeah.
Dad's at South Carolina, so Georgia can offer him, but South Carolina cannot?
Well, I
come
mean,
on.
I know, but we, you know. What does Will say to him? Like, yeah, listen, I'd go to Georgia. We suck. Go to Georgia. Like, that's awkward.
Like I said, to me, the first thing that comes to mind is
says he knows something.
Son, I might not be here the whole time you're in school.
Apparently, South Carolina beating Georgia at Georgia last year was not a good enough recruiting pitch to bring his own son.
Guess not.
That's something. And Elijah, did I hear you right that Tennessee's in the top 10 now?
After a couple commits earlier today, especially the Malachi Hardman one, they've climbed to number 10.
Yeah, they've got Tennessee at 10, 0 5-stars, 13 4-stars. They got 23 commits, 9 3-stars. The most 5-stars goes to Clemson with 5.
Hmm.
5 5-stars. Alabama, Georgia are the only two schools with 4 5-stars. And LSU, Ohio State had 3. Oregon, 3 5-stars.
I don't, you know, with the recruiting rankings, I don't care. Just do something
just,
with the
it's
players.
Just like rank. It's just a gauge. That's
yeah, I mean, it's like the, yeah, you're right. It's like the rankings. It's like the polls.
It's just something to go off of.
And Tennessee always had good recruiting classes under Butch Jones, and then he couldn't do anything with them.
I mean, is it foolproof?
No.
Of course not. South Carolina, by the way, was 18th. They had 24 commits, 1 5-star, 8 4-stars, 15 3-stars. Well, they knocked it out of the park with 3-stars and didn't even land.
I know.
His
coach's
son.
I'd love to ask him about that. I'm sure somebody will.
By the way, we had one of the televisions on in here. I think it was just a carryover from during the day. I don't know what channel. One of the SEC basketball games, and Tom Hart and Adam Kennedy were doing the game. I don't know which game was that.
Andy Kennedy?
What did I say?
Adam.
Yeah, Andy Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, former Ole Miss coach.
Yep.
Did you see what happened last night on the
Arkansas,
broadcast?
Arkansas-Auburn, wasn't it?
Yes.
Where he mistake Ron Burgundy for someone who's definitely not Ron Burgundy.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I was watching that game.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the funniest thing that happened last night.
And Andy Kennedy goes, yeah, that's right. That's a different channel. That's not Ron Burgundy. That guy I just said is on a different channel.
Nice.
And Tom Hart lost it.
Oh, yeah.
He was absolutely cackling. They showed it was somebody with one of those, like, fat, you know, the big heads.
Yeah.
Cutouts.
Yeah. The fat head. It was somebody with, you know, Ron Burgundy. And he goes, there's Ron. Yeah. Not Ron Burgundy.
I was watching that live, and I mean, I had a double take. I had to just to make sure that he actually said that.
So you heard him, and you're like, did he just say
what I thought? Yeah, did he just make an allusion to someone who you wouldn't normally expect to hear an allusion from on the SEC network?
On a college basketball game? No?
I don't know. If you had that on your bingo card, you're a winner
last night.
You are a winner.
How did Andy Kennedy get that mistake? How did he know that?
He was young once.
Okay.
Very good way to put it, Elijah.
Good job, Elijah. All right, we'll come back and wrap up Wednesday's show next. Gus has got some good radio pipes.
Yeah.
He does. Hey, by the way, text keyword boxing to the game text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Caleb Plant take on Vincent
Fagan Boots.
It'll be a super middleweight world championship at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, February 15th. So take your significant other out the night before on Friday night, February 14th on Valentine's Day, and then you can go the fight on Saturday. You don't want to miss Return of Big Time Boxing to Nashville featuring hometown hero Caleb Plant. So all you have to do is text BOXING to our text line.
And they will come flying in. And
tell right Chase now. Hello when you do that. Say hi,
yeah,
Chase.
Yeah, you can say hi. We had a text earlier. They didn't identify themselves, but they really enjoyed our interview with Chris Lee. Thought it was very interesting, and he's a sharp guy.
He is.
Thought he was. Look, I appreciate honesty, and I think that a lot of the things he said were spot on about Vanderbilt, and it's stuff we've said on this show that, you know, there's just – they're not a well-oiled machine
right
now.
They need to get their stuff together.
They do.
That's the bottom line. They got to get their stuff together. I don't think people are going to keep tolerating unless they just don't care. I mean, like truly, like don't care, and nobody's going to show up to any of the sporting
I'd
events.
I'd like them to say that they're not. They would. No one would ever admit this, but I would love for them. I would love for them to be like, you know what? We really don't care about athletics.
Then at least we know.
Like, okay, cool. Well, we'll stop. Then you know, we'll stop talking about it. Which would stink because I love. You know, we have Derek Mason do a weekly and have a great relationship with him. You know, you can tell that there are times where he's like, give me some help. I mean, he said it. He said that, you know, we need a new stadium. But it's just, and you guys
well,
for
Jordan
years.
Well, Jordan Rogers brought up the, Jordan Rogers? If you remember, he brought up the example that Derek Mason referenced.
Kentucky?
Not this past year, but the year before when Kentucky had their special season when they had Benny Snell and Allen. He said, go look at Kentucky.
And you've been there recently. You went
no,
there.
I haven't been. I haven't toured the. I haven't seen.
But I thought you went to a football game like last year. You took the family, or maybe you were talking about it and never did it.
No.
So you haven't been since they redid. What was it, Commonwealth Stadium?
I hardly ever get. It's hard. I hardly ever get back.
And they've done a lot to Rupp to keep it up.
Yeah, I have. The last time I went to Rupp was Kentucky, Tennessee. Bruce Pearl was the coach.
That's been a while. But I think Kentucky's a great example. Duke is a great example. You know, Duke is probably the better example because they're both academic institutions. But Duke puts money into athletics. We've talked to David Cutcliffe. I mean,
Northwestern does.
He gets support. Northwestern.
We've all seen the facility Northwestern built right there on the lake.
And is Duke football competing for the ACC? No. But they played in some ACC title games. He's gotten them to that point. Why can't Vandy do that? You know, everybody wants to make the excuse of, well, it's really hard, the entrance exam, you know, it's hard to get in there, whatever. Like, come on, there are ways. You can do things, you can put more into athletics and help recruiting.
I just want to, hopefully we'll get a chance to, I'd like to have Candace Story Lee in studio.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, get a chance to, like, really pick her brain and get to know her and see if this is going to change, or if this is just what they are. And if this is what they are, it's really sad because they're just going to go out of sight, out of mind in this market. They just are.
Yeah, and nobody wants that.
No,
nobody wants
not.
That at all. I mean, we had Tim Corbin on today. Like I said, we have Derek Mason on every week during the season, and those relationships are awesome, and those guys are doing the best they can, put in the work. I mean, we've seen the rewards that baseball's gotten. Derek Mason busting his butt every year to try and get the best team possible, and they just don't get a lot of help. And that's the sad part, and that's the part that I hope changes. And I'm hoping that they learn from this. If they're truly admitting that they made a mistake at athletic director with Malcolm Turner, then okay, maybe you have it right now with Candace Story Lee, and you can move in the right direction and make the changes that need to be made.
That'll do it for our show today. Everybody have a great rest of your Wednesday. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM, that's next.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.